After the death of Cromwell, there were 28 years in which the Stuart kings of this country tried to rule the church as well as the state. And those who fiercely resisted them in Scotland have gone down in history as the Covenanters. Now, they held that the church had no king but Christ, and 18,000 of them suffered torture and death for that belief. Donald Cargill was one of the 18,000. His father was in the legal profession and sent his son to Aberdeen Grammar School. After that, he went on to Aberdeen University, where he graduated in philosophy when he was about 20 in 1647. The summer in which he left university, he went through a very deep spiritual crisis. The conviction of personal sin became so intense that he became sure he wasn't fit to live. One day he actually took off his outer coat, intending to throw himself down an old coal mine and do away with himself, when he heard the words of Christ in his soul, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And from that moment, peace and assurance dominated his life. His father then suggested to him a little while later that he ought to consider the Christian ministry. He was very undecided, and one writer records that to make a decision, he set aside at least one day of prayer and fasting to seek the Lord's mind on the matter. And at the end of a period of wrestling with God, he decided he would go to St. Andrew's and do the 4 years training. The professor of divinity was Samuel Rutherford, who had just returned from using his very great powers in helping to write the Westminster Confession and the Catechisms down in London. Rutherford had written a book called Lex Rex, The Law is King, in which he argued that the king may be a member of the church, but he may not be its ruler. Cargill went through the whole course before he was licensed to preach and be ordained. When he was about 28, he went to the Barony Church in the centre of Glasgow. In April the following year, we read that he married a widow, but tragically she died 4 months after the wedding, and he never remarried, though he was under 30 at the time. The blessings of his 7-year ministry were cut short by the restoration of King Charles II. By speaking out against new laws which gave the king absolute power over the church, Cargill effectively ended his own ministry. As soldiers came in one door, he had to go out the other one. And over 400 ministers in Scotland suffered ejection at this particular time. All the evidence we have is that Donald Cargill was a shy and a diffident sort of man. But he now saw that it was his duty to preach out in the fields. The government hated these meetings, and they made it illegal not only to preach at them, but also to attend them. And although hunted, the field preachers had plenty of Scottish countryside to hide in. People who were deprived of their pastors flocked to hear them preach at these illegal meetings. We have records that say sometimes there were over 3,000 people gathered in the open fields to take communion at the hands of an ejected pastor. All the work of the church went on in the fields. Ministers preached, infants were baptized. That tells you they weren't Baptists, I suppose. The churches were empty, and a great part of the south of Scotland became an area of spiritual awakening. Some people even say revival. Certainly there was a great movement of the spirit, and ministers and people were being hunted all the time by the civil authority. Cargill even received complaints that his messages were too short. "Why?" he said. "Well, because too long elapses between our spiritual meals and we're starving." So he put that right. Now, there's no doubt that the Scottish people suffered far more seriously than the English people. But then the Covenanters resisted the king's Catholicism far more vigorously than the English did. In 1679, Cargill decided that things were now so hot that he'd better get out of the country. And he went to Protestant Holland. There were Scottish churches dotted all over Holland at this time, and he went to the one in Rotterdam. We do well to remember, by the way, that it was from Holland that King William of Orange came to Britain to bring in the Toleration Act and end those killing times in Scotland. So be against the Orange Lodges as you wish, but don't forget it was a king from Holland who gave our spiritual ancestors their freedoms. But for Donald Cargill, the arrival of King William was going to be nearly 10 years too late. There was a high price on his head, and when he returned from Scotland, which he did after 3 months, he was determined to go to southwest Scotland and minister Christ to the hungry people. More and more of his friends were being killed. The soldiers who were after them were really little more than bounty hunters. Cargill himself had 5,000 merks put on his head. M-E-R-K-S. It's a Scottish silver coin. And probably under strain, he now did a reckless thing. Somewhere near Stirling, he declared that the king and the leading persecutors were excommunicated. Alexander Smellie, in his book, thinks it was a magnificent thing that a hunted minister would publicly stand up and announce the displeasure of heaven against those wanting to destroy the church. But now the hunt for Cargill was stepped up a notch. The inevitable happened. He was captured. His capture took place near Lanark, and the man was called James Irvine. He tied him tightly onto a horse with Cargill's back towards the horse's head. And that way, they took him to the final journey to Edinburgh. 5 Covenanters were to die in the centre of Edinburgh on the 27th of July, 1681. And Cargill was the first to go up the scaffold. Throughout the so-called trial, it was pretty clear that Cargill feared sinning more than suffering. So the proceedings were deliberately hurried up. His last words from the scaffold were copied down. I'd like you to listen to part of what he said. Quote, "My conscience does not condemn me. I do not say I am free of sin, but I am at peace with God through a slain mediator, and I believe there is no salvation but only in Christ. I bless the Lord that for 30 years and more I have been at peace with God." And then an officer ordered some drums to bang to drown out his voice because they didn't like what he was saying. And then when the silence returned, he piped up again. "I die a Christian, I die a Protestant, and I die a Presbyterian in my judgment. And I testify against those who will not have the scriptures as the word of God as their rule." And then there were more drums. And again he was silenced. And then just before he was hanged, he had to go up a ladder. And he remarked, "The Lord knows I go up this ladder with less fear than I ever had in climbing up to enter a pulpit." And then he called out from the ladder, Farewell, friends in Christ. Farewell, earthly enjoyments. Farewell, reading, preaching, praying, believing, wandering, and suffering. Welcome, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Welcome, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Their five heads were hacked off, and they were all displayed as warnings to other so-called rebels. His body is almost certainly in Greyfriars Churchyard. It's hard, isn't it, for visitors to Edinburgh nowadays to believe that it was once the scene of hundreds of really bloodthirsty executions. Well, the Covenanters are little known today. Most of us will know more about sport or soaps, I guess, than spiritual heroes. But that probably says something about us.